The following podcast of The Blitz is brought to you by BetDSI.com. With the NFL and college football seasons here, it's time to take that pigskin knowledge to the bank at BetDSI.com. With 20 years in the business, an impeccable reputation for great service, fast payouts, and an excellent mobile interface where you can play, win, and get paid, it's a no-brainer. BetDSI.com is the place to go. They have every wager option you could ever want or even imagine, and if you're watching a game, you can use BetDSI's live betting option to bet on the fly. Whether it's the NFL, college football, Major League Baseball, the NBA, the UFC, esports, global sports, or even politics, celebrities. I mean, really, it doesn't matter. Whatever you feel like betting on, BetDSI has it for you. You get started today with BetDSI, and you can get some extra bang for your buck, too. They're offering double your money for your first deposit. That's right. Deposit to start winning and get up to $2,500 free. That's double your money right from the get-go. So what are you waiting for? Double your bankroll right now by joining BetDSI.com and use promo code BLITZ101. The games are more fun when you get paid, so play at BetDSI.com. That's BetDSI.com and use promo code BLITZ101.
Are you ready?
Hey, you think you can tell us what to do? You think you can tell us what to wear? You think that you're better? Well, you better get ready. Bow to the masters.
Break it down! Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, this is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on SportsMap 94.1.
Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on The Blitz. Hour number two, 713-780. ESPN's your number, 713-780-3776. Or you can hit us up on The Blitz Facebook page, find The Blitz, click like, you're good to go. There's also Twitter, at Fred Fowler, F-A-O-U-R, at AJ is the real, at Jon Snow with a zero, not an O, at Degenerates975. You can also text the show at 713-780-3776. And if you want to see us on live stream, just go to ESPN975.com and click on Watch Us on Live Stream. Miss the first hour, college football, man. Almost all
college. A lot of college football.
Little NFL, a little bit of Astros. Some Astros news. Looks like Marwin Gonzalez out for the rest of this series with an oblique injury.
Ouch.
Yeah, that sounds painful. And right now, the Athletics beating the Yankees 6-3.
How many fantasy football drafts do you have left?
I don't have any left. I'm only doing the one league with you guys.
That's it?
Yeah, I've learned my lesson because the last league I was in last year, I finished second and should have got money and never got paid. So,
Jong, I assume you are in a Asian only league?
Yes.
Okay. Wait, have you drafted already?
Yeah, we drafted Saturday.
Okay.
Or no, Sunday, yesterday.
What pick did you have?
It's a keeper league, so it's a keeper league. So I had the ninth pick. I finished fourth last year.
Okay, I'm starting to wonder if you have, you know, a top two or three pick. I'm starting to wonder if not taking Le'Veon Bell is the move. I don't want to be the guy who drafts him and then he really does just say, you know what, F you guys, yeah. I'm not showing up. I mean, the fact that he's still not there. I mean, the regular season starts Sunday. He wasn't there on Monday of opening game week. Like, maybe he's serious. This is like a real holdout. He's committed to it. I mean, we'll see if he does it. But he'd lose money if he misses game. Like, he'd lose $855K per game that he misses, which that ain't anything to sneeze at.
No.
So I'm not sure if he's going to be back or not. And if he is, it's going to take him a few weeks
weeks, yeah, because he's not going to be in football shape or anything close to it. So I don't know. I guess it depends on where you're picking. I never have picks high enough to have those kind of
I have a
problems,
draft tonight, so. And I have the first pick. And it's not even a question for me that I'm taking Todd Gurley. So But I do feel bad for the guys who have the second or the third pick because
most people in Houston aren't going to want to hear this, but if I were up that high, I would in most leagues be investing in Zeke Elliott. I think he's going to have a big
year. Well, most of the leagues I'm in are now a PPR league.
Right.
And in PPR, he just doesn't have the value that guys like Gurley and Bell do because they catch passes and he just doesn't. But yeah, I'm starting to think now, even if I had, if it came down to, you know, Todd Gurley and David Johnson are 1 and 2 off the board, and I've got to choose between Elliott and Bell, I think today I'm taking Zeke Elliott.
Yeah.
So I mean, Bell's it's not even a question that he's
if he's right, he's the best player to take number one.
I think it's between him and Gurley. Yeah. But
with the way things are right now, I wouldn't tell.
Yeah, I just don't think you can.
All right, 713-780-ESPN is your number, 713-780-3776. You can also text the show. This is our free show for the people that we do every year since, you know, it's so much football to get to. Haven't even talked at all about the Texans and their cuts.
No.
And
I mean, there weren't – we talked a little bit about it on Friday. I don't think there were any shockers on the cut list.
I think what we've learned since then – Vincent Smith making the roster at wide receiver was a little bit of a surprise.
Yeah.
Not a huge surprise. They picked up Greg Howell off of waivers and cut Pope at running back. And Deontay Foreman went on the PUP list, which is not something we didn't see coming. And then they initially cut Joe Webb, but they brought him back. So I'm assuming he's to help special teams. They kept the three tight ends that almost everybody thought they were going to keep in Griffin, Thomas, and Akins. The only thing that I found a little disappointing, like I think, and I wrote an analysis on all their position groups. I think their defensive line and linebackers are in great, great shape. Cornerback, not so much.
Yeah.
Even though they did pick up two guys who kind of are hybrid corner safeties, I still think that the depth there is a little scary. And the other place that I'm still concerned about the offensive line because I think if you can't find somebody on waivers better than Kendall Lamb, then –
That's not promising. And you were projecting that there'd be someone that they picked up, and it looks like that's not going to be the case.
No.
I guess maybe did the we were talking about who might be the running backs that make it. Did either of us project Buddy Howell?
No,
I didn't think so. That one threw me off a little bit. Yeah, but other than that, though, the Vincent Smith, I don't think anything really jumped out as shocking to me.
Yeah, I don't think, well, it was, what shocked me was that D. Virgin got picked up by the Lions.
Yeah.
Good
luck.
Corey Moore got picked up as well, so.
Corey Moore, that's what I said, it wouldn't be a surprise. I figured he would get picked up pretty quickly.
They're pretty deep at that position, although they picked up another one. Off waiver wire, so they took advantage of having that fourth slot on the waiver list and picked up some guys who should help special teams. But yeah, you know, I would think that basically 48 through 53's got a target on their back all season long.
I would imagine, especially if you're on that offensive line.
Yeah, because I mean
they've got to be looking to upgrade that thing in any way possible.
Even if you look at here's best case scenario that Davenport takes a big step in his second year and turns out to be a functional left tackle. Rankin develops into your right tackle. Henderson's your swing guy. And your interior guys are average.
Yeah.
That's a best case scenario.
Yeah.
And that's an average offensive line.
Well, and I mean, Chantrell Henderson's he's a retread. He's a guy who's shown some potential, and Martinez Rankin, I don't know what that guy is.
Yeah.
I mean, there's no way to know what he is.
All we saw from him in the preseason, he played almost the entire Cowboys game and looked pretty good, but it's a fourth preseason game. So I don't know what he's going to do when he gets on the field against a real defense.
Yeah, I still think this is a bottom five offensive line in the league.
To me, the absolute ceiling is 17th or 18th best, if all that goes right.
Their ceiling is below average.
Yeah.
Which is, that's really sad.
To maybe average. But that's if everything goes right, and I just don't see that kind of scenario.
And we're still at a... You know, everybody's like, well, I think we're finally to the point where people aren't just assuming that Nick Martin is good.
Yeah.
Because Nick Martin can't stay healthy, first of all. And by now, we should know if he's good or not. And we really don't.
Yeah, I think at this stage, this has to be the year, right? This is his Xavier Suofilo last year.
Maybe so.
Where he needs to. And the thing is, I do think they have a functional center in Greg Mantz on the roster. So if he's not any good, that would that's a guy you can slide in there. But
Nick Collins says Braxton Miller release kind of sucks. I mean, Braxton Miller kind of sucks. He's just he's never done anything and never he's never taken that step forward. And it's just the long, long list of third round picks that are just absolute busts by the Texans continues to grow. And yeah, I like Braxton Miller. He seems like a good kid. He just never could do anything. And to me, it sucks mostly because that's another third round pick you can check off as like, wow, the Texans are the worst third round drafting team maybe ever.
Yeah, it was that one was. It's only disappointing in that. You took a shot on a guy who was a project, and the project never really worked out. And now they think Vincent Smith's a better player.
Yeah.
And they think Kiki Coutte is a better player.
And those guys, we don't even know what they are. Yeah. They're just assuming, you know, if they're average, they're better than what Braxton Miller's been. And it's the same thing they've eventually decided last year with Jalen Strong. Same thing they eventually decided with Devere Posey. Like all these. I think all three of those guys are third-round draft picks, by the way.
Posey might have been second round, now that I think about it.
He might. I think. I don't know.
It was a high pick.
Same area. But, yeah, they just say, well, man, this guy can't play. Let's move on. And, I mean, they're acting like those picks are disposable, and they're just not. But, you know, hopefully they find someone who can jump up there and make something happen. But I still think they're putting a lot of eggs in the Will Fuller basket, and it's just not a basket I trust.
No, but I tell you what, I do like Sammy Coates as an outside receiver.
I don't mind him.
And I've always liked him, and he just hasn't quite gotten there yet, but I like that he made the roster. Yeah, he was a third-round pick, and yeah, he didn't do anything until he went up to Toronto with the
No, he'll be back Argonauts. There. He's Canadian, right?
No, I don't think so.
I thought he was Canadian.
He's from California. He just keeps going back up there because it's the only place he can play.
Well, he
was with the Ravens this year, but he didn't make it.
And the Ravens cut him and Breshad Perriman, who was a first-round pick 3 years ago. And he's never been on the field, never been healthy.
Well, that's part of the Braxton Miller problem.
Yeah.
Is you have to be on the field to contribute. And you know, he's been hurt every season. Fuller's been hurt every season. One of those guys has to stay healthy. And you hate that you're – rookie receivers already missed time in camp too, because you know you need these guys to be on the field. But and I think just looking at the roster, I think they should be very good on defense. I like that they kept all their interior defensive linemen because somebody was going to take a Joel Heath or a Blackson or a Dunn.
Right.
So I'm glad to see all those guys make the roster, and Carlos Watkins for that matter, because you can use them in a lot of ways. So hopefully. When you look at the defense, I think defensive linebacker, really strong. Cornerback, huge question mark.
Oh, yeah. They better hope that Kayvon Webster is the answer. I mean, that's...
Well, and no matter what, you don't have a number one on this roster.
No.
Jonathan Joseph is not that anymore.
He's not that anymore.
And I've given up on Kevin Johnson. I just don't think he can stay healthy either. And even if he does, it's been performance and health issues with
him. He's not been great when he's on the field.
But the flip side is this could be the best safety group they've ever had, potentially.
Could be. Yeah, Justin Reed looks promising. Tyrann Mathieu, I mean, he's looked so far so good. And obviously, if he plays at his ceiling, then that's a pretty good ceiling. I don't know if he can get back to that. I'd like to see it. And then I do think Kareem will be more successful in this position. Although I'm sure Justin Reed's going to cut into his playing time. But I've said all along, I think wouldn't shock me to see Tyrann Mathieu, Justin Reed, and Kareem Jackson all on the field at the same time.
Yeah.
And Kareem in more of a slot corner role, which is where I think he's going to thrive.
Well, I can't believe we already have football Thursday night.
It's upon us.
I know, because... When I was driving in today, and I was like, oh, wait, the Eagles play Thursday night? We're already here. This is going to be the best week of the year. This is the best
this
week
is
of
Christmas.
Year. This is. I love this. This is my favorite all-time week. All right. We are going to take a very quick break. We've got a lot more to get to. Do not go anywhere. It is the Blitz on ESPN 97.5 and Sports Map 94.1.
To call into the HRNP listener line, dial 713-780-ESPN.
Dial the phone.
Looking to outsource your company's HR and payroll? Get the top initiative and smart solutions with HRP.net. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, this is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on SportsMap 94.1.
Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on The Blitz. Apparently, Tropical Storm Gordon is heading for Louisiana. Looks like we're going to be okay on that one. Sorry, Louisiana, but anything that says tropical anything can just...
It's your turn.
Yeah.
It's your turn to take one for the team.
Exactly. Although apparently it's going to rain here all week, so... Just like it has pretty much all weekend. It's got that damn Greary Dray stuff going on. But hey, it's also not going to get above 90 either.
I lucked out yesterday. So I had committed to my wife that on Sunday I would get up and take the kids to Schlitterbahn in Galveston. And I got obliterated Saturday night. And then when I got up, she was like, "We're not going. You're going to be in a bad mood. You're going to be hungover." And plus the weather was bad. She was like, "We should just not even go." But I knew if we didn't go, she would hold it against me.
Right.
So I said, "We're going." Yeah. They've got an indoor part.
You tough it out.
They've got an indoor section there at Schlitterbahn. We'll go and we'll do what we can do there. And we got down there and it rained. It poured the whole way down to Galveston. Right when we got there, it stopped raining and it was 72 degrees. Overcast. Not an ideal beach day.
Right.
But there were no lines on any of the rides. I mean, it was the park was like a ghost town. We had free reign of the place. It wasn't hot. Normally you walk around places like that barefoot. Like your feet are just roasted at the end of the day. We walked around barefoot all day. Didn't burn one bit. I mean, just totally lucked out with the weather because it didn't rain again until we started driving home, and then it started to rain a little bit.
Oh, that worked out.
But I guess it rained a lot up at our house when we were gone. But yeah, we got lucky on that, and it made for a good day. It was my first time, my second time going to Schlitterbahn Galveston. The first time I just went there for a work thing. They wanted me to ride some ride, their new ride with a GoPro.
Yeah,
and I did that. But then
was that the Massive?
Yeah. And it was like when it first opened. Oh, everyone was so mad too. It was opening day of that ride. And the line was so absurd, and they just walked me up past everyone. And
rank has its privileges.
Oh man, they were like, "What the hell is this?" And, sweltering hot, and all these people are pissed off. But yeah, yesterday wasn't what you would think of as a great water park day. But to me, it ended up being damn near perfect.
Yeah, because I'm guessing a lot of people just looked at the rain and said, "Nah, let's screw it. We're not going." So. Hey, John, we're out Thursday and Friday this week. Is that correct?
Yes.
I'd like to let the five people listening today know that we're going to be at Poker Royale on Richmond. Is that right? For Thursday?
Yes.
And then Friday is Beaumont?
Yes, Luke's Ice House.
So guess who's not going to be at the 3 o'clock company meeting that day?
Both of you guys.
Yeah, exactly. So I'm just, when that comes up.
You can FaceTime.
No, I can't because I'll probably be trying to drive there.
Oh, you can do it while you're driving.
Nope. We don't do that.
No, that's dangerous.
Yeah. I don't FaceTime and drive.
Fred's very important to this company.
I don't drink and drive, and I don't text and drive.
He's very responsible.
You've become very famous.
I do all of those things all the time.
The only thing I do that's probably irresponsible is, especially on a long drive like that, I'll crank the music up and just...
I text and drive way more than I should. I've been telling myself I'm going to stop. It's very difficult.
Why don't you just put your phone on Do Not Disturb while you're driving?
I could probably do that.
Because there's a feature now where once you start driving, it'll auto go to do not disturb.
My problem is I'm just so OCD that, like, if I've got a notification, I've just got to see it immediately.
Well, if you put it on do not disturb, then you won't see it.
Yeah.
Or airplane mode, same thing.
Yeah.
Just drop it on airplane mode. But I now I will stop if like if I'm driving to Beaumont or doing a drive like that, if I, you know, look down and see a text or something, I might pull over and check it out if I'm expecting something important. But most part, it's, you know, it's an hour and a half. If I can't stay away from my phone for an hour and a half, because it's easy. I mean, it's easy going from here to my house because it's 15 right. minutes. I don't need to look at the phone. The only time I actually have the phone on is when I'm using Waze for something.
Right.
Seth said, checking in to show you guys have 6 listeners today. Thank
nice.
You, Seth.
Welcome to the party.
That's twice what I was expecting.
Welcome to the party. So my draft is at 7:30 today. I just had to set my default rankings in case I'm not home in time for the draft. If I wouldn't have changed the default player rankings, I would have taken Aaron Rodgers with the first pick.
Ooh.
If I had the second pick, I would have taken Deshaun Watson.
Ugh.
Todd Gurley was the third in the default rankings. It's like, oh, boy.
I wound up with Deshaun Watson in our league, and he may not be the best quarterback on my roster.
Who else did you take?
Matt Ryan.
Oh, well.
So.
You did it smart. You took a nice backup option in a league that a pretty healthy buy-in that I was in earlier a couple weeks ago. Deshaun Watson went in the second round. And the guy didn't draft another quarterback until Ryan Tannehill.
Ooh.
That's his backup. I was like, boy, if I'm taking a risk with Deshaun Watson, I'm backing it up firmly with somebody. You know,
well, I feel like I have quarterback covered.
I think that's a good place.
I felt a lot better about my team until Jerick McKinnon went down Saturday, because that was a guy I was counting on as a sort of a snake that was going to get me a lot of points.
Yeah, I didn't draft him in any leagues because he's been kind of banged up all preseason, and then he just went ahead and did the final bang.
Then he just died.
Yeah.
So, 4-9 says, today's felt like a Sunday all day, but was genuinely happy when I tuned in and heard your voices as I drive to work.
Oh, well, thank you. Yeah. It makes me feel good.
Yeah, because we're here for the people today.
That's right.
No other reason. That and the beer.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm looking at the Chronicle just put out their latest tropical map.
Mm-hmm.
So we have Gordon. Looks like, okay, Louisiana, you're going to get Gordon. There's another one out there called Florence, who's way out in the Atlantic. I'm just going to go ahead and assume that one's going to go up north and never bother us.
Okay.
Because I don't want there to be a storm this year, for one thing. I damn sure don't want there to be a storm in 2 weeks when we're in Vegas again.
No.
That's another one. We did our time
on
that.
Don't drag me back from a fight again.
Exactly. Especially since we haven't been in a year. And I can't wait. I'm so excited about this trip. Although,
not only, I mean, maybe the worst, not obviously not the worst part about Harvey. There was some pretty bad parts about Harvey. We were in Vegas, and it was my birthday.
Yeah. Like,
instead, flying back, going out and kayaking all over through this disgusting water.
And I think one of the worst things that happened was that damn fight being on Saturday night, because I had so many friends get stranded.
Yeah.
Because that's when the bad stuff hit, and they got their cars flooded and everything else because they went out to the fight.
They wanted to go watch it.
And most places lost it anyway because of the weather. So, but hopefully we'll get out there. It'll be a fun trip. Hopefully I'm not trying to migrate to a new system that week.
No.
Yeah, I'm getting less and less confident in that. Tomorrow was supposed to be the day we went over to it. And, initially it was September 1st. Then they said, well, let's push that to September the 4th so that we don't, have Labor Day to worry about.
Yeah.
It's like, I'm working anyway. I don't care. Put these people to work. But, so now I'm going to set the new over-under at September 15th while we're in Vegas.
Okay.
So I'm going to be real pleasant to deal with.
Yeah, sure.
Oh, man. 713-780-ESPN, your number, 713-780-3776. But if we ever get it done, it's going to be really cool, like you were asking, with our picks. Like, we'll be able to put everybody's picture on there, and it'll be a really neat-looking thing. Just have to get there.
We just got
to
get there.
Yeah.
September 15th, we're going to be in Vegas. But you should be at the Kima Boardwalk. September 15th from 2 to 5 p.m., the Kima Boardwalk and 24 different breweries invite you to spend a day sampling over 72 of the finest craft beers that are available. And there's a lot of local flavor down there. Eighth Wonder is going to be there. Galveston Island is going to be there. Carbach will be there. St. Arnold, Spindle Tap will all be there. Southern Star, Texas Beer Refinery, a lot of great breweries from around the area, as well as some national brands like Bell's and Brooklyn and Founders, Deschutes. They're going to be out there. It's going to be a really good time, really good beer. And you can buy advance tickets now for $44.95, $39.95 if you're a Landry Select Club member or you have a military ID. It'll be $49.95 day of the event, so it pays to get in a little early. Admission includes beer samples, giveaways from the beer vendors, and food samples. There's going to be live music going all day out there. You can purchase your tickets online at KemaBeerFest.com or on-site at the multiple ticket booths at the Kima Boardwalk. All guests must present a valid ID at the time of purchase and, of course, must be 21 years of age to attend. That's KemaBeerFest.com for tickets and details.
Never go back to the AM dial.
Your home for sports is only on FM.
With ESPN 97.5.
And Sports Map 94.1.
Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, this is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on SportsMap 94.1.
Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on The Blitz. So, hey, Jong, is there a Soccer Matters tonight?
No Soccer Matters tonight.
Okay.
Is it flooding in Galveston?
It's probably flooding a lot of places.
Man.
We had a little bit of street flooding today. So, I guess I can go to the Doppler.
You know what would be a really good move? You know what? This is what we should have done with the Astrodome. We should have blown up the Astrodome and just dug down like 5 to 10 miles until there was like magma spewing out of the earth and just left it as a big drain hole. So, anytime that rains a lot, it just sinks into the Astrodome hole. Isn't that a good idea?
It's a better idea than what they're going to use it for.
Right. It's better than an indoor park.
But they didn't ask us, AJ.
No.
Well, no, they didn't. We voted against it.
And then, yeah. And we did.
And then they did what they wanted.
They didn't care. Bastards.
Yeah, it looks like looking at the Mega Doppler with our friends at Channel 13. First off, Austin looks like they're getting some nastiness. But in our area, looks fine right now. A little bit up around Lake Livingston. There's some storms moving through the Beaumont area. So if you're in Beaumont, watch out for those. Some yellow and red, not a lot of it, mostly green. It was yellow and red when it was off the coast. And but, yeah, it looks like Galveston's catching the tail end of that here in a few minutes. So, yeah, there you go. There's your weather update for the whole area, thanks to the Mega Doppler.
That ain't good.
And we'll, it does look like we're going to get between 3 to 5 inches this week, just during the week.
Of rain.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. Well, what'd you think?
I mean, Jong did just come back from his honeymoon.
Yeah, that's true.
So, Teresa's had enough of that, 3 to 5 inches.
So there's a really cool World Poker Tour event coming up here. Not the tournament they're having, but a deal where they're going to come in and you can like buy seats to get lessons from like Tony Dunst and stuff like that. So I'm going to try to get one of them on here to talk about that because it looks like a lot of fun. It'll be in October.
Okay.
So working on that, and somebody says, we'll be in Boston this weekend for Astros and Texans. Any advice for bars and restaurants, et cetera? I'll be honest with you. The times I've been to Boston, I've tried to get out of there as quickly as possible. It's just not my kind of city. I'd hit up Jerome Solomon for that. He could tell you. He lived there for a while. I've been to Fenway, and I've been out to Foxborough, but both times I got in that day and got out that night. So there's a lot of cities I can help with. That's not one of them. Have you been there?
No.
You're not missing much.
No, it's not on my list of places to go.
Yeah. 713-780-ESPN if you want to text the show. So here's a couple other little surprises from the cuts. Giants already given up on Davis Webb.
Yeah. It's interesting, but I think he just hasn't really shown anything. And I think they are – the fact that they took, like, Kyle LaLetta and Alex Tanny and dumped Davis Webb, that says something. Because that's a guy that, you know, that's a third-round pick. A third-round pick?
Last year?
Yeah. It's like, it's not going to work out. That's surprising to me. But I mean, he's one of those guys who played in one of those systems, you know, the same reason I questioned Pat Mahomes, it's
Baker Mayfield.
Yeah. They just don't play in a system that necessarily translates to the NFL. And sometimes when you get those guys into an NFL offense, it just doesn't click for them. And I don't think Davis Webb, you know, is like such a physical freak that it's worth it to see what he's got. Like, I understand why they're willing to take that risk with Patrick Mahomes.
Yeah.
But Davis Webb is like, he's just kind of a guy. It's surprising though for them to just be like, but you know what? The Jets did the same thing with Hackenberg.
Yeah.
Eventually they were just like, you know what? It turns out this guy can't play. And they just moved on. And I think it's best to do it early.
Yep, just rip it off.
Yep.
But I'm pretty sure we told them that Hackenberg couldn't play if they just listened to him.
Yeah.
But they didn't.
But look what he was like when he was with a QB guru. The QB guru.
Yeah, I don't want to get in on that.
By the way, Christian Hackenberg signed today to the Bengals practice squad.
All right, good for him.
Congratulations.
Apparently he was so bad in Philadelphia.
Yeah.
What were you expecting, guys? Yep. They just wanted an extra arm.
But you got, I mean, that's a second round pick from 2 years ago, and now he's on the practice squad for the Bengals.
Probably never takes a regular season snap.
Probably not. And think about this. Drafted 2 years ago in the second round, he's now on his third team with no signs that he's going to see the
field. What other quarterbacks went in that draft around him? That wasn't a very good draft, as I recall.
Excuse me.
Okay, so 537, he made it pretty. Usually that doesn't happen.
I let out a good one right before the draft, or right before the show started.
Oh, okay.
2016 was the Jared Goff, Carson Wentz year.
Okay, so good at the top so
those,
far.
Those guys were pretty decent. Beyond them, it was Paxton Lynch, not good.
Who also cut.
Yep. Christian Hackenberg, not good. Jacoby Brissett, pretty good.
Yeah.
Cody Kessler, I still stand by. That guy can play some football.
Well, I think he's better than everybody you mentioned ahead of him, not named Brissett.
Connor Cook, started a playoff game.
Yeah, he's not going to last long.
No, you're going to hate on him? Come on.
He's not going to last long.
Dak Prescott.
He's pretty good.
He's all right. Cardale Jones.
God, how do you take Christian Hackenberg above
all of them? Dude, that's...
I'd rather gamble on Cardale Jones than Christian Hackenberg, even if it's a failure.
Kevin Hogan, Nate Sudfeld, Jake Ruddock, Brandon Allen.
We can quit now.
Jeff Driscoll.
Hey, usually I don't agree with professors when they start bitching about sports programs.
Uh-huh.
But I think this guy at Kansas may have a point. Corey Rayburn Young, who is a professor at Kansas University's law school,
mm-hmm.
basically went on a Twitter rampage the other night after they lost. And I don't know that I disagree with him. It says, what's the argument for continuing KU football? Serious question. It's an enormous money loser for a cash-strapped university. Life-altering injuries and cumulative brain damage are inevitable. Wouldn't this money be better spent elsewhere, e.g. more scholarships? Continuing to charge KU students higher fees to support the football team, the biggest drain on KU's athletic budget, just seems wrong. With yesterday's loss to Nicholls State, it seems like an appropriate time to ask, why have a football team?
You know who else? The University of New Mexico has been talking about that, too. Here's sort of the problem for Kansas. Kansas is in a big basketball. I mean, they are a basketball school. They've obviously got a historically great basketball program there. You can't be in the Big 12 for basketball only. Like, the Big 12 is not going to be like, we don't need you to play football and you can just join us in basketball season. I don't think that's going to work out.
You know what? That's a program, though, that you might make that exception for. You might say basketball only because it is one of the best in the country. There's not many programs that I think it's that any conference would say that for in basketball. I think Kansas is on that list. I think if you're the Big 12, you keep them in basketball if they left every time.
Let me ask you a crazy question. You know how Notre Dame is in the ACC for basketball only? They're still an independent when it comes to football.
Right.
But they during basketball season, they're in the ACC. What if Kansas said, okay, we're going to be basketball only, and what if the Big 12 came to UH and said, would you accept a football-only invitation to the Big 12?
Sure they would.
I mean, I would think so. I don't know.
Yeah,
I don't know how their conference would feel about that, but
But I also could see something like if the ACC already has that with Notre Dame, you imagine them coming after Kansas in the same with the same arrangement?
I would think so.
That'd be pretty impressive.
Yeah.
But yeah, if I'm Big 12, I try to keep Kansas basketball. I mean, you've got a good basketball conference, but they're the bell cow.
But he's right. I mean, that is a disastrous football program with it seems like there's no way to make it better. You know, it's just
I don't know if his comments about the revenue are accurate.
I don't either.
But I would assume a law professor at Kansas would know more about that than I would.
But I talked to a buddy of mine who lives in Albuquerque and works for the University of New Mexico, and he's been trying to like push for them to not be in the Mountain West anymore, because the travel and things like that it adds up to being more money than the football program brings in. And he's like, it's just not worth it. Like, for what? For this name recognition that we're in the Mountain West Conference? It's not like it's the SEC.
Yeah.
You know, at some point, there are very, very few athletic programs in the country where the football program, I mean, most programs in the country, the football program feeds the rest of the school,
right,
the rest of the athletic program. But Kansas, New Mexico, there's maybe
UConn women's basketball.
There might be 10 of them.
Yeah.
Where
Kentucky,
Kentucky, their football program makes money. Connecticut's football program makes money. I mean, not a lot, not as much as their basketball programs, but they still make money.
They're not a drain.
Yeah. Like when you get to a point where having a football team is a drain,
I just don't know if that's the case, because I don't know exactly how much they make off the Big 12 football contracts versus what they get for the basketball contract and everything else.
So I have a few numbers for Kansas athletics and a little bit of Kansas football. They spent about $300 million to upgrade facilities for the football program from 2006 to 2017. So I guess in terms of seasons, it's an 11-season thing. The athletic program, their revenue increased by 68%, but their spending has increased. Expenses have increased by 93%. Their athletic program has, and in the fiscal year of 2017, their revenues grew by 1.2% from 2016, while their expenses shot up to 7.2% year over year. So, not good for Kansas athletics.
That's pretty bad.
I mean, you spent $300 million to upgrade your football facility.
Well, which you almost have to do if you're going to stay in the Big 12 to try to be competitive. But here's the problem. The last time they even had a season where they went 5-7, 2009. They've gone through three head coaches. The best one has been 3-9. Turner Gill, who looked like a hot prospect, flamed out. Charlie Weiss flamed out.
I guess the real question is,
David Beatty is 3-34 as a head coach.
When they were in the Mangino era, which was like peak Kansas football, I mean, for the history of their program, how much money were they making?
And if
the answer is they were making pretty good money, which I imagine they would have back then, because I mean, people were showing up at games, they were going to Orange Bowls. I mean, it was a pretty high time for that program. I don't know if And you can say, well, if you throw enough money at the right coach, and they threw a bunch of money at Charlie Weiss and it didn't work. That's the problem. When you throw a bunch of money trying to get the right coach,
right?
If it doesn't work out, if it doesn't work out at Texas, they throw a bunch of money at Charlie Strong and it doesn't work out. Okay, we'll just reach back in the pocket. For Kansas, it's like, oh my God, what have we done?
And if Tom Herman fails, they'll put a bunch of money in somebody else.
Yeah, because even when their football program isn't good, Texas football is going to make a lot of money. Kansas football is not the same. It is not going to make money if it's not good. I'm with him though. I don't know if it's worth going for.
All right, we're going to take a very quick break. Don't go anywhere. It is the Blitz on ESPN 97.5 and Sports Map 94.1.
Check it. Come experience what 25 years of perfection tastes like at Saltgrass Steakhouse. Proud sponsors of the ESPN 97.5 app. Download it today. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, this is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on SportsMap 94.1.
Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we're back on The Blitz. Check out SportsMap.com today. Lots of great stuff on there. Updated a lot of things yesterday, updated some things today. We'll have a full run tomorrow. All at SportsMap.com. You can follow us on Twitter at SportsMap, H-O-U. As our first week of, second week actually of having college football stuff all week, but our NFL cranks in. It's going to be lots of good stuff. We're going to have your Texans covered too. So if they're any good, you're going to be happy. We're going to have everything you could possibly want.
John, did you listen to Kamikaze?
Yeah.
What'd you think?
Much better than Revival.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Maybe he's back.
No, an angry Eminem is always a good Eminem.
Yeah. And he went after a bunch of dudes.
Yeah, he did. I'm expecting none of them to fire back.
Well, Machine Gun Kelly already did.
Oh, did he? What'd you say?
I was just looking it up. I saw a little thing about it. He basically said if you don't know the story, Machine Gun Kelly used to be he used to credit Eminem as his main inspiration to be a rapper. He did a song called Rap Devil. That he talked about him having a weird beard, being sober and bored. Talks about his last four albums as bad as his selfie. And accuses Marshall Mathers of using his manager, Paul Rosenberg, to try to shelf his career. But I guess this dude, I don't know much about Machine Gun Kelly. I've heard a little bit of it. It's not for me.
He kind of is almost an Eminem ripoff. A little bit,
yeah.
Kind of tries to be provocative, and I'm never for a grown ass man commenting on another man's 16-year-old daughter. I think that was him, right? Was that him?
Yeah, that was him. Yeah. Yeah. Yep. So, yeah, I don't know. I'm just glad that it sounded good and wasn't horrible.
Yeah.
Yeah, I guess you didn't listen to it, huh, Fred?
You guys could be speaking Mandarin, as far as I'm concerned. I have no idea what you're talking about.
Kamikaze.
It's not my thing.
And a nice little homage. Nice little homage to Beastie Boys on the album.
I like
it
too. Yeah,
album
cover. That's nice. All right, we can stop now, Fred.
All right, let's do the Zadok Jewelers Gem of the Day.
The Gem of the Day. It's the Gem of the Day. The Zadok Jeweler Gem of the Day.
I mean, there was a reason you asked Jong about that, because he knew exactly what you were talking about.
Everyone always talks about Eminem's last four albums, and maybe I'm in the minority. I thought Recovery was really good.
Recovery was good. LP2 was good, and Revival was bad.
Encore and Relapse were bad.
Yeah, that was like 5-6 years ago.
That was a long time ago.
Yeah, but Recovery was good. Marshall Mathers LP2 was good. And this Kamikaze album.
He was only on a one-game losing streak.
Yeah, yeah.
Is that widely accepted? Is that those two albums were pretty good?
Which one?
The
Recovery and LP2.
LP2.
Yeah, yeah.
Critically, they're not crapped on. I don't follow the game enough.
I don't know either. But I personally like those.
Okay. Games. How many mics did they get in the source? You don't know?
I have no idea.
Oh, that used to be the measurement when I was a kid. How many mics did your album get? I don't even know if the source exists anymore, actually. I should probably look that up before I keep using that reference.
See, if I were Rich Lord, I'd pretend to be cool and know what you guys were talking about. But I'm not, so.
That's all right.
So your Zadok Jewelers Gem of the Day is, remember the airplane that everybody lost and they never did find it from Malaysia Airlines?
Yeah.
Which is why, John, you didn't fly Malaysia Airlines.
No.
What airline did you fly?
We flew Korean Air there, and then on the way back, we flew Asiana.
You flew what?
Asiana Airlines.
You ever heard of that?
I have not, although I hear a lot of good things about Korean Air.
That must be where those hot chicks were from.
Maybe so.
Asiana.
Yeah, when we were out at the Hyatt the other day, there were some, let me just say, flight attendants have never been on any flights that I've been on.
Yeah.
But, a tech expert from the UK claims he spotted the plane.
Okay.
On Google Maps. He believes the remains of the missing airplane lie deep in a jungle in Cambodia.
Hmm.
Said he now plans to visit the terrain to prove his theory. Said, measuring the Google sighting, you can look at around 69 meters, but there looks to be a gap between the tail and the back of the plane. It's just slightly bigger. But, they've been looking for this thing, like, off Australia and everything else. Said there's a gap that would probably account for that. So he's apparently has vast experience with Google Earth and Google Maps and believes he found it.
When was that accident? That crash?
It was 2014.
Oh.
And you remember that was all CNN had on for weeks was the missing airplane, and they spent millions of dollars searching for it off of Australia, and they had no idea where it went, which I still find very odd in this day and age that you could lose an airplane. I still think aliens came and got them. But that's yours.
I'll believe it when they pull it up.
Yeah, good luck to this guy.
Yeah,
but that's your Zadok Jewelers Gem of the Day.
The gem of the day. It's the gem of the day. The Zadok Jeweler gem of the day. Hey, will you tell Andrew to take those beers out of the freezer before they explode in there? Totally forgot about that.
All
right. Eric Warner should be here next.
Yeah.
Although, I bet he can't even get up into the building.
Well, one of us can run down there and let him in.
Yeah, all right. I'll head down there right now.
All right. We'll be right back. It's the Blitz on ESPN 97.5 at Sports Map 94.1.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5 and Sports Map 94.1.